I'm Marlena, and I want to welcome you to Marlena, right here on ACB Radio Mainstream, where for about the next 60 minutes or so, we'll be taking your calls at 1-866-666-7926. Come on in, sit down, take your shoes off, give me a call, won't you? Well, hello and welcome to another Sunday night, Monday morning here. Whoops, we got phones ringing and people not there. Another Sunday night, Monday morning here on ACB Radio Interactive. I'm Marlena, and some of us had a whole bunch of fun last night over on the interactive side, kind of filling in for an hour of craziness. And I thought, you know, this would be great fodder for the Marlena show today. The guest that we had scheduled will remain a surprise, but he was not able to be with us today. So what we're going to do today is play Blind Guy's Trivial Pursuit. Now, there's no prizes, unfortunately. I wish I could give prizes, but there are no prizes. But what I thought would be kind of fun to do is take a look at some of the technology that we use today. And I'm not talking about our screen readers or our computers or, you know, high-tech technology necessarily. But I'm even thinking about, you know, things like the talking clocks we use, the Braille watches, etc. Take a look at some of that technology and then go back in time to some of the technology that we used to use way back when. So to get things going, let me first give out the phone number. It's 1-866-666-7926. If you are in the U.S., we would love it if you'd use that phone number. In the, if you're outside of the U.S., we're simulcasting into the ourplace.acbradio.org chat room called the Speakeasy Room, and I'll be turning to the Speakeasy Room for chat room participation. So let me throw a question out to you. What did you once use? Is there anything you once used in terms of, oh, say the talking clock or the Braille watch or whatever, that they don't make anymore that you wish they made? That's one side of this coin. The other side of this coin is there anything that they do make that you'd like to take the hammer and smash it because it doesn't work and it's useless and you wasted your money? Well, you can vent that kind of frustration right here as well on Marlena. The phone number is 1-866-666-7926. One of the first things that comes to my mind, well, before I tell you that, let's see what's on your mind. Hello, you're with Marlena on ACB Radio Mainstream.
Hi, Marlena. It's Cindy.
Hi, Cindy. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. I'm
good.
Just fabulous. So do you want to make something or break something?
I wish they still made the talking time one, the sharp talking time one, because those are nice clocks.
Oh, you know what? And, you know, that came up on my program last night. And
really?
I sheepishly admitted that I have two and can't find the other one.
Well, we still have one. You know, and Jerry got it in 1980, I think.
That's when I got mine.
Yeah, in 1980, and I think it was one of the first ones out, and it still works.
Yeah, and I think we paid $90 for them.
Oh, I can't even remember how much they were.
that was a lot of money back in 1980.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money
but
now.
It was the only thing that was there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love my talking time, and apparently so does everybody else, because any time, like even on the lists, you know, when any discussion of watches, clocks comes up, people just pine for those talking times.
Oh, yeah. Well, they were just the best. You know, they had so many features, even compared to clocks that are around now, which have a lot of features. But this one was really good. It had you know, a stopwatch and a timer, and it was a really nice clock.
And it even has a count up timer and a countdown timer, because I recall.
Yeah, and you could just set it to. You wouldn't have to go through the whole timer thing. You could just push the little button over, and it would count up every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was
neat. Yeah, I before I knew what I was doing with SoundForge, she says like she thinks she knows what she's doing with it now, but you know, but before I understood that you could actually, now my listeners are going to know how dumb I am. Before I understood you could actually look at the time on the bottom of the screen, when I was doing my original blind spot shows, that's how I timed them, was with my talking time.
Oh, well, that's really neat.
Yeah. Really neat. Yeah. Yep.
Well, the other thing that I really wish that they made, which they, you know, they really don't, I don't think, they're going to probably try to come up with something, I guess, is the Opticon.
But, yeah, we've been hearing we're going to have an Opticon. We're going to have an Opticon.
Yeah, they've been saying that for a long time, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think for people who don't know what an Opticon is, why don't you describe it? I mean, I could do it, but okay. I'd rather you do it.
Okay. Well, it's I guess that they first were invented in the early. Oh no, my phone is gonna die.
Is your cell phone gonna die?
Yeah, I think it is. Maybe I can go get the cord and plug it in before it does.
Well, while you're plugging it in, I'll start, and then you get it plugged in, and if you're still there, you can finish.
Okay.
The Opticon is, for people who don't know, is a device that allows you to read print textually, and it was developed, I think, probably in the very early 70s. I got mine in about 72. It was slow going, but reliable as the dickens. And then, unfortunately, TSI, Telesensory, which now, of course, markets, I think, exclusively low vision stuff, although don't shoot me if I'm wrong on that, got into the scan and read business with Oscar. Optical scan and scanner and recognizer or something like that. Anyway, and they stopped really marketing the Opticon to a greater degree, and so it sort of faded away. But there are those of us who love it.
Oh yeah, well I'm plugged in now, so hopefully.
Oh good, you're wired.
Anyway, but the Opticon. The one real advantage of the Opticon over about anything else is that you can look at things randomly. You know, you can, if you know where something is talked about on the page, you can just look at it, and you don't have to search line by line or, you know, try to jump to certain text or something like that. And it's really nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can also look at things that are hard to scan, you know, like round cans and things like that. You know, it's handy for so many things.
Yeah,
it's too bad that it wasn't more popular and able to stay around.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's definitely unfortunate because it. And the other thing I think it gave blind people, and I'm actually trying to figure out why my remote synthesizer is not speaking to me right now, but fortunately the Braille display is. But the other thing that it gave blind people was the ability to actually look at formatting, like when they said center a page, opposed to a centered line. So, yeah. Anything else?
No, I can't really think of anything, but... You know, in your little message that you sent out, you were talking about Braille writers that people might have used other than the Perkins.
Yeah.
Do you remember old Howell Braille writer?
Oh, yes, I do.
Yeah.
Do you remember the lavender Braille writer?
I used to have one.
A lavender?
Yeah, I did. I used to have one.
Oh, my gosh. Have you ever seen a what was the one? Actually, in the chat room is Chrissy from the UK, and she may know the answer to this question, or Dave may know it as well. Have you ever seen, I think they called it the Stainsby Braille writer.
I've heard the name, but no, I've never seen one.
Yeah.
No, I never have. But I had a lavender that somebody gave me one time when I was, I guess it was probably in the mid-70s, and I used it. I didn't have another, you know, anything else other than Slayton Stylus, but for a Braille writer, I used it. And then I sort of dropped it, not very far, not very hard, but it just was never the same. And it never, I mean, because it was plastic, you know.
So yeah, yeah.
You dropped it. They just didn't last very long.
It was very lightweight.
Oh, I liked it.
Oh, well, why did you, just real quickly, why did you like it better than the Perkins?
Oh, I didn't like it better than the Perkins. I just didn't have a Perkins.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't hear
no,
you.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't like it better, but it was the only one that I had at the time, you know, and I thought it was kind of neat.
All right. Well, thank you for calling.
Yeah.
All right. Well, keep
Bye-bye.
Listening. We may evoke some more of those old memories about some of that old junk.
Oh, I hope so. It'll be interesting
it
to
was,
hear.
It was good junk, though, doggone it.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. And that was Cindy from Pennsylvania calling. She called 1-866-666-7926. Let's take a duck into the chat room and see if anyone there has anything that he or she would like to add.
Hi, Marlena. I don't know whether I'm through. Let's assume I am for a minute. Yes, the Stainsby was a wondrous machine. They made, if you imagine a Perkins in terms of the keyboard, instead of the keys going across, they were upright. So you had 1, 2, 3 on the right or 1, 2, 3 on the left. But the interesting thing was they made two versions, a right as you write and a right as you read. So you could have letter A, dot one on the left-hand side or on the right. But I'd like to bring in another thing. I don't know whether you ever had it in America. It was a machine called the Crab. Now, if you imagine a glorified Perkins, massive great monster, and what it enabled you to do was Braille duplication. It would clank away and write on thin sheets of metal. And you folded the sheets of metal so you had two sides of a page, and you put it through what we in England call a mangle or a ringer, you know, like you have on a washing machine, with Braille paper. And you could run off copy after copy from this thing. But it was an amazing machine. We had one at school, and I only ever saw one of them. I don't know whether you had it in the States, but, yeah, it was called the Crab.
Well, I've certainly never heard of this, but we have a caller, and let's see if our caller has heard of this. Hello, caller. You are on with Marlena.
Hi there. Oh, gosh, I wish I could say I've heard of that. but I think I have heard the... of the Stainsby Brailler at one point, years back.
But you never saw one?
No, I haven't. I could have sworn I heard one, heard of a Braille writer that I thought Maxine was selling. Sounded like it had the name Cash or something like that, some weird name like that, that was out, oh, a couple of years ago.
Huh.
Yeah,
well, I don't know about that. Maybe someone else does.
I might be randomly coming up with a name, but that was one of the things I was thinking about there. last night when you were talking about, the calculator.
Speech Plus
calculator.
The Speech Plus calculator. And if you press those two keys, it said something very dirty.
Well, now, here's something that TSI came out with in, I don't know what year, they came out with this, but I got this as a graduation present in 87. But it had the voice of the old Speech Plus, and it had all the sayings that it that the Speech Plus, you know, all, it's limited to thing of sayings. But it was a game center. It's this great big ugly looking thing.
Oh,
with about 7 games on it.
I think that was created by, or at least marketed, I think it was a TSI game center, and I think HumanWare marketed it.
Ah.
And I expect to be receiving a file from a friend in Canada whom I met at CSUN.
Uh-huh.
I expect to be receiving the original Jim Halliday voice instructions.
Okay, for that particular game?
For the
game
whole
center.
Game center, yeah. Because apparently he got quite involved in adding different characters and voices, and that's the one, isn't it, that it had blackjack and all kinds of things on
let's
it?
Let's see, I don't think think it had blackjack. It had, let's see, number chain. It had skeet shoot.
Yeah.
And then there was like two switches. If you connected it to the stereo, you could play paddle ball. And it was a switch on each side of this thing. But right in the center was the same particular type of keyboard that you would see on the old Speech Plus calculator.
Yeah,
had the same voice.
I don't know if that's the Game Center, so somebody will have to call in and tell us what the heck we're talking about.
The only other thing I can think of was the gem machine that was out in the 90s, the early 90s.
Ooh, I missed that one. What's that?
It was, it was a talking game system that had, that came with some cartridges. You buy these different cartridges. There was bowling, was one of the cartridges. Hangman was another. I only had, I think when I bought the game, I only had the bowling one.
I never heard of this.
Actually, I think I sold it to Charles after a while. But then, now, on another subject, since we're talking about clocks and calculators, in 1983... I remember, my mom got me this one really thin, delicate-looking calculator clock that was made by Casio, I think. It was, she got it for me from the, San Francisco Lighthouse. And it had, 6 alarms on it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
One would say, it's time to wake up, it's time now, it's time for the meeting. Then there was one, the last alarm on there had the sound of a dog barking, or a, you know, really bad sounding sound of a dog barking. But, you know, it was just this little chintzy calculator thing, but it was kind of cute. Unfortunately, you had to use a pen to set the time.
Oh.
And, or to reset the calculator. You had to use an actual pen to set, you know, for resetting things and whatever, but had a female voice. And my mom, bless her heart, she said she thought about getting the one with the male voice, but she said it didn't look right, so she got me this little Casio one. And those things did not last long.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
I had a little Casio clock that a friend of mine purchased for me from a Sky Mall magazine while he was flying somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And it was, in fact, I probably still have the silly thing somewhere. It was as big as a credit card. And, it was like, okay, setting it was, I didn't have to use a pen. I could, set little buttons on the side, but it wasn't meant for blind people. And so therefore you never knew when you pressed it, where it was really going.
Well, I mean, yeah, this one was made for blind people. It had, you know, most of the buttons, but for setting in real important stuff like the time and all that, you had to use, a pen, you know, for, you know, protection's sake. But my problem with the one that I had, after a while, it was, you know, delicately made, and after a while, the time would go off kilter all the time, and, you know, my poor mom was saying, you got ink all over that darn thing. I said, well, I've been setting the time too much. It's like, it was cute, but kind of cheaply made.
Well, is there anything that you want to break the mold on here on ACB Radio that they never should have made it? Smash it.
Well, I'm afraid when I was in junior high, I tried learning the Opticon.
Oh, no, I won't let you break the mold. No,
I know.
No. But, careful, I have a disconnect button here.
Well, now this is really interesting, though. What almost sold me on possibly getting back into the Opticon was a few years ago, a friend of mine, in fact, I think you once knew him, Paul Pina.
I know Paul.
Yeah, he came over one time to Charles and Venus's home. We were over one day, and Venus just got this really nice, one of those real expensive very expensive but very inaccessible keyboards. And he went through, and actually with the Opticon, and he used the camera on that blessed thing to look at the display on the keyboard. And he also went through her keyboard manual and showed her what each of the buttons were according to the diagram. And he was using his Opticon to essentially show her
absolutely
how to use her keyboard.
Absolutely.
And he has been using the Opticon essentially to handle, to learn, because he was incorporating Tuvan throat singing or harmonic singing into Western culture. He had to learn, using the Opticon, learn Russian in order to learn Tuvan, because there was no direct English to Tuvan translator.
Right. Yeah.
Now, it almost sold me. I mean, I'm thinking, my God, what a patient guy he was.
Well, it's a great tool, and it's those of us who love it really love it. So I won't let you break the mold on it.
No, in fact, I think they are trying to come out with new one. I think it was Video Tim or something like that. I'm not sure if I'm saying it right. That's supposed to be a new version of the Opticon.
Well, hopefully we'll see one soon.
Yes,
anything
agree.
Else?
Oh, anyone remember the old VersaBrill?
The old VersaBrill, that's right.
That was my first computerized piece of equipment that I've laid my hands on.
Wow.
Back in junior high.
Wow. I remember the old VersaBrill. And the Braille Mate.
I never saw that one. One thing I'd love to see come back, oddly enough, is the old Teletouch. Because, that way the blind and hearing impaired can still communicate. I don't think they have the Teletouch anymore. That's a good, yes, it is a single cell device, but it is a way to help the deaf and the blind communicate if we don't know or sign language. My honey was just bringing up an interesting concern. He was like, what if you lose your hearing? You know, because I only hear out of one side. What if you lose your hearing? How are you going to be able to communicate?
Yeah.
And
I think that there are some technologies working on that right now. So.
But what's nice about the Teletouch, though, is you don't have to rely on batteries.
Right.
It was spring operated.
Right.
That's what I'm saying, you know?
Yeah. No, it was a very cool device.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
Not a problem.
You have a good evening.
You too.
Okay. Thanks for staying up with me last night.
No problem.
Okay.
It was fun.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Joy, and she called 1-866. Whoa. No. Now that I need the Teletouch. Oh, my goodness. When I let things disconnect in the headphone, whew, it's loud. Joy called 1-866. Everything is beeping and tooting at me. 666-7926. We have another caller who wants to come in and talk about technology or whatever. Hello.
Hi, Marlene. It's Scott.
Hello, Scott.
I'll hold for you. I just turned you down off the internet.
Yes. Turn your computer down.
I did. Let me know when I'm on.
You're on right now.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Okay.
This is instantaneous.
Wow.
Actually, if you don't mind, let's take a standby for a second and have a check in the chat room.
Go right ahead.
See, I can ask Scott to do these things because, like, Scott is old technology to me. No, I don't mean that.
Yeah, I'm old, and I'm old technology, too. No question about that.
Let's take a check in the chat room and see if anyone else would like to add anything, and then we'll come right back to Scott in Silver Spring, Maryland.
Take your time.
Come on, chat room. Okay, well, apparently people in the chat room are just enjoying the listening. So you are front and center, Mr. Scott.
Thank you, Marlena. It was a great first call, too. Boy, did she bring a lot of memories back. I wanted to pay tribute to a man who he may not be with us anymore. I'm not really sure. His name was Tom Benham. And
yes.
I believe he was a mathematics professor
yes.
at Haverford College.
Yes.
And in the 1960s, 70s, 80s, he was well ahead of his time with respect to assistive technology. He developed instrumentation that talked for auto mechanics, for ham radio operators that wanted to tune up their transmitters. For me, he developed a mechanical calculator with a braille display that really was invaluable when I was taking accounting in college. He also developed things like light probes, continuity testers for electronic technicians, and all sorts of things that either talked or buzzed or beeped way before his time.
Yes. And science for the blind, right?
Science for the blind
in
products.
In Balakinwid, Pennsylvania.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's exactly it.
And his. Here's some Trivial Pursuit. Ready?
Yes, go ahead.
What was his wife's name?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Do, do, do,
I do remember
do,
his wife
do,
used to do the catalog
do,
with him.
Do, do, do. Do,
all
do,
right,
do.
Marlena. I don't know. Sarah? No. What was it?
One guess.
No. It was not a common name. Help me.
No. I'm going to see if other callers remember.
Oh, okay.
That'll keep you with me till the end of the show.
I'll be with you till the end of the show. Yeah, absolutely. No question about that.
Yep. Tom
anyway,
and his
sure.
wife.
The real loss here, though, is I don't think people are marketing and developing those kinds of technologies anymore.
Yeah, I agree with you. We've gone to either very, very low tech or very, very, very high tech.
Exactly.
And things like, now, I don't know if you heard this show last week, but you would have been quite interested if you had. We had a coffee roaster on, Jerry Leary from the Unseen Bean.
Oh, really?
Yes. And,
being a coffee,
yes.
I would have been very interested.
Yes, you would have been. Well, it'll be in the archives.
Oh, the on-demand. Yes,
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 it'll,
yes.
It'll be there. It'll be there.
Good.
But one of the.
David, do you hear us?
No, stop it. But poor Dave, he's in the chat room now. Leave him alone.
Oh, okay.
But one of the things that he talked about was how he found a company which, oh boy, I wish I could remember now, that they made a talking thermocouple device. And he was able to adapt that thermocouple device to act as the thermometer in his roasters.
Wow.
So he took out the factory fit thermometer in the roaster.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, and put this, and of course, he's a ham radio operator, so he's sort of familiar with
sort of techie anyway.
Some of that stuff anyway. But, I mean, it's that kind of thing, you know, that we miss.
It's that kind of thing that opens up employment opportunities that we have so few of.
Absolutely.
For blind people that may not want or be able to go to college and that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
And these kinds of applied technologies just are so essential. And the real crime of it is, if I can be very political for just 1 minute, is that we have a federal agency, part of the Department of Education, called NIDR, N-I-D-R-R, the National Institute on Disability Rehabilitation and Research, that gets all kinds of federal money. I can't tell you how much, probably too much money, that's in the business of developing technologies and developing and bringing research and making research applied to real-life solutions. And unfortunately, most of the stuff they do results in a report being put on a shelf, and nobody ever thinks about it anymore. The real transition or a transfer of these technologies to the private sector or to someone who could manufacture the technology and get it into the hands of people who need it is really quite lacking.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
You know, I can understand that there's some problems in doing that, and it's a small market, yada, 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 and all that kind of stuff. But, hey, Tom Bedham did it.
Absolutely.
And he didn't do it with NIDR money.
I was going to say NIDR wasn't even conceived Tom Bedham did it. Exactly.
Exactly. So what's wrong here, guys?
I remember my first, and then I'm going to let you go, but I remember my first light probe was a Science for the Blind light
probe. Absolutely. Yeah, precisely.
And it had little dubiseries that you could plug in on the end of it.
Oh, for telephone?
Yes.
Back in the days when your multi-line telephone had flashing buttons.
Yep.
And if you were a telephone person that had to deal with that, that was the only way you could tell what line was ringing.
And it was just a little tiny square box, not much bigger than a 9-volt battery.
Exactly.
But you could hang on to it easily.
Exactly.
And it had different lenses for the end, so you could have telephone lights, you could have lights on in the room, and it even had a liquid level indicator.
That's true. I remember it well.
Yeah, I loved that thing. I wonder what ever happened
to
it. I don't know.
So, for as much as we've progressed, I think we have stepped back.
Maybe we need to get some of our manufacturers to listen to this program in the archives.
Well, maybe so.
Yeah?
And if not manufacturers, well, we need to find those federal government entities that can prime the prompt. I know that's a bad thing to say these days for government to get involved with these kinds of things when the free market is supposed to do it all, which we know doesn't really work.
Exactly.
But we need to have some pump priming on some of these technologies.
Exactly.
So that people can go to work and be productive, not to mention have fun.
Exactly.
I mean, one of Benham's things was a device to tune a ham radio transmitter.
Exactly.
How fun was that?
Exactly.
I'll let you go, Marlena. Good luck. Take care.
All right, Scott.
Great program. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for calling.
Be good. Good night.
Night. And the phone number is 1-866-666-7926. Let's take a check into the chat room. We're going to bring this caller on first. We're going to ask the caller if you can hold for just a minute. And we'll take a check into the chat room. Anyone in the chat room want to add something?
Well, if no one's going to say anything, I'll jump back in again, if I may. Chrissy, in praise of the Opticon, God bless it. It had one serious drawback in this country. I have a DX7, which has a visual display on it, and I thought, great, I can read it with the Opticon. But no, because the Opticon works at 60 cycles, and we have 50 cycles here, or 50 hertz, if you like, it flashed 10 hertz per second, so you couldn't really read it. But I do know someone who managed to learn his partner's handwriting, so his partner could leave notes, and he could actually read it with the Opticon. Now, that's one thing you can't do with a scanner. Anyway, back to you.
And, of course, some people used to use the Opticon for reading computer displays, VDUs. We used to call them back in the day before we called them monitors. Scott seems like a bit of a character there, Marlena. The other thing I wanted to say, just while I have it here, was that we can't let a program like this go by without mentioning David Costishan, the founder of Synthevoice, who, of course, developed the original Windows screen reader, Windows Bridge, for Windows... back in the day, 3.1 or Windows 3 even, must be about 12 years ago now. And of course, David Costishan sadly died a couple of years ago, and there's a main menu program and a tribute to David in the archives there if people want to check that out, because of course Windows Bridge really came along at the time when people were saying, oh my goodness, there's no way we're ever going to be able to access Windows, and Synthevoice came along and proved everyone wrong, and of course we've never really looked back since then. So I think he's a really important figure in probably more recent assistive technology history. Anyway, I'll let you get on the program there, Marlena.
Okay. I think we're in the chat room. I think. Let's bring this caller on. And before we bring the caller on, caller, you're on the air right now, so just hang on 1 second. But before we bring you in here, the trivial pursuit question of the night. What was Tom Benin's wife's name? Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, caller. You're with Marlena.
You would have to ask that question, Marlena. This is Charles.
Hello, Venus. Charles. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I remember Tom Benin real well, but I didn't know his wife's name at all. You know. And
I can't be the only one who knows this.
Yeah, I guess so.
When I say it, you're all going to hit yourselves in the forehead and go, doggone it, that's right, because I used to hear her voice on the tapes. And anyway, what did you call about, Charles?
Well, okay, and that, you wanted to know what it was that Jerry Lear, what the company was. It was called
yes.
The Omega?
Yes, the Omega.
And what they did was they made the meter, the multimeter that talked. But they also made the thermocouplers, yes.
And so he was able to adapt that, of course, to be the thermometer.
Right.
Or the roaster. Yeah.
Right. And, boy, I could go way back to some of those things that you mentioned. Of course, I just turned 65 March the 6th, so I think I might be up there with Scott or somewhere. No, hi, Scott. And, gosh, I remember now. You were talking about brailers earlier.
Yes.
Do you remember the Banks brailer?
I have two of them.
Oh, good.
Because yes. But you know where I got them?
Where?
I got them. I got one on eBay, and then I got one from my Gary the Board Guy when he was not retired. See, he thought he'd retire and have a restful life. Ha, ha. And then he lives with me. He never gets rest with anything. But when Gary the Board Guy was working, he worked at the Boeing company, and one of his colleagues, sorry, another line's ringing and it's distracting me here. One of his colleagues collected typewriter devices and found that device, brought it into Gary and said, I don't know what the heck this thing is or does, but it makes dots, so I thought your wife would like it.
Oh, okay.
So I've actually got two of them. Now, I don't know where you get the tape for them anymore.
Yeah, I know. I used to have one, I used to have one. It was actually given to me, and boy, I don't remember. I think somebody else needed it or something, and I ended up giving it away or something. No, sometimes you do those things.
That's right.
And
well, anything else about technology or old good
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, actually, for those that might be in TV, into TV, years ago, before the RCA TV came out, you know, the radio TV.
Right.
What the, there were, I was in Las Vegas and this girl that they we used to know up there, she was blind. And what her dad did was he would turn the TV tube out because she couldn't see it.
Right.
Well, my dad went one further than that and we got an old TV and he took the audio part out. And it had the antenna and everything, and that was my TV, and I'd put it on my dresser.
Great.
And I had an old open-reel tape recorder, so when the Beatles came out, I used alligator clips on the back of the speakers, and I would tape everything about the Beatles.
Anything that works? Do you still have some of those tapes?
Yeah. And it worked fine. So, I mean, the old technology is good, and I agree with Scott, man. These people, they got to get on the ball to make us to even have fun and enjoy stuff, you know, like.
Well, you know, what we all should be doing is writing our congressman and telling our congressman that NIDR needs to be accountable for its dollars. And
well, like DVS now, only the satellite people get it, you know, that have satellite TVs.
Right.
We got to get a hold of the big Comcast. Now, Barry did. He, I guess you know Barry Campbell.
Right.
And he did. In fact, we are into Jimmy Buffett so much. That's all we talk about. But he was telling me that he went to his main cable guy, and we need to get the cable going on this stuff.
Right.
So, hey, nice. Oh, and also for Venus because she's kind of busy. She has a Perkins Brailler that she got back in 1972 as the graduation present because she was, you know, the I guess it was because she was the best Braillist.
Great.
And she said she was performing in the choir, and they came and sat it on the stage in front of her, and in between numbers she would kind of keep reaching down and, is this mine?
Oh, that's neat.
And it still works good.
That's neat. Well, I think the Brailler just celebrated its 50th birthday.
Well,
and I'm 54, almost 55, and I got my Brailler when I was 6, so I have one of the original Brailers.
There you go.
There you go. It pays to be old, huh, Charles?
Yeah.
Well, well, you we'll take care. All right,
we'll
thanks.
We'll be listening Thursday to your show.
Lovely. I'll be looking forward to it. Thanks so much.
And you tell Gary, the board guy, hello for us.
I'll do that. Thanks, Charles.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, my goodness. This is a subject that we may need to do two shows on. We have many calls, many folks wanting to get in. Hello, you're with Marlena.
Hi, Marlena. This is Allison from New York.
Hello, Allison from New York.
And I saw you.
Yes.
Yeah, you remember.
You're from
Utica.
Upstate New York. That's
absolutely.
Right. That's
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
And you sat to my right when we did the Braille Note workshop.
Absolutely. And I love it even more.
Well, there you go.
I can't, unfortunately, listen to you while I'm talking to you because I have a dial-up connection, but I've been enjoying the program, and I wanted to contribute a few things. First of all, I had a lavender Brailler.
Yes.
Didn't like it much,
yes.
But I had one, and I have the same Perkins Brailler that I had when I was in sixth grade.
Yes.
And I'm in my 50s now, and I've only had it fixed twice.
Well, there you go. See, so, you and I have the same. We have vintage Brailers, Allison.
Have vintage Brailers. And I want to know, and I'm not sure I'm right, with Tom, I do remember Tom Benham. I grew up in the Philadelphia area.
Yes.
In fact, I lived about 10 minutes away from Bala Cynwyd.
Yes.
And was it his wife's first name Rita?
No.
No. I was afraid of that. Oh, well.
You missed the $1 million, Allison.
Oh, well.
You were so close.
Yeah, right. But I have a vintage thing that I don't know. I didn't come in at the very beginning of the program, so I may have missed it. But does anyone remember Cube Slate?
Oh, my goodness. No one brought that up yet.
There is nothing like stepping on one of those cubes in your bare feet.
Now, why don't you? Now, listen, we have a lot of kids.
Uh-huh.
What's a cube slate, Allison?
Okay. Well, I was really bad in math, so I hated it from the beginning. A cube slate was a plastic tray, and it had these little tiny holes, and there were little cubes with Braille numbers on each of the six sides, and you had to put these little cubes in these little holes and use them for addition and subtraction. They were, and I always thought they were horrible for little kids because they were so little.
Yeah.
Talk about working on fine motor skills.
Yeah, they were really tiny, and the dots were like micro Braille.
Yes, they were. I hated them. Of course, I hated math. But
I hated math, too.
Oh, my goodness. But I hope they don't even make cube slates anymore. I hope that's one thing that they got rid of.
I don't know. I haven't seen one or heard of one in a long time.
Well, I think that's a really good thing, actually. but I had a cube slate.
So you would like to break the mold on slate. All
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
All right, we're breaking it now. Wham, it's broken. There.
Sounds good to me.
No more cube slates.
Absolutely not.
Anything else about technology?
Let's see. I don't think so, except I'm enjoying it all. I'm no techie, as I told you way back in Utica, but I'm really enjoying the Braille Note, and I it's wonderful to have so many books that I can't possibly read them all.
Great.
In fact, I have so many books downloaded on my Braille Note from Bookshare that I have a friend, and they've said, you can't download any more until you clean your plate. You just can't. So, you know.
Well, there you go. Well, you keep reading and keep having fun with your Braille Note.
Absolutely.
Thanks
good
for calling.
Tomorrow,
all right. Good to talk with you again, too, Allison.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It's 1-866-666-7926. Let's take a quick check into the chat room. I think we're checking in.
I'd actually like to take umbrage with yourself, Marlena, and Alison from upstate New York. I love those cube trays. I learnt maths using one of those, and I thought they were really quite clever. But there you go. Each to their own.
Each to their own. That's right. Hang on. I'm going to do this here with a different command. Okay, there we go. Hopefully we're in the chat room without my synthesizer. It's a real interesting show. We have another call, and Dave, I'll set you right later. I actually like the abacus, but no one's talked about that yet. Hello, you're with Marlena. What kind of technology do you want to talk about?
Am I actually on the air?
You are.
Oh, wow. Let me turn my volume up here down, because we're listening. Ah.
Is this my friend?
No.
No? Well, maybe you should be, because you sound just like her.
I'm actually Judy's friend, and we sound very much alike on the phone.
Uh-huh.
But I remember the abacus. In fact, before the I love the antique technology. I'm not... I have to be dragged kicking and screaming into this century. So I collect antique kinds of technology, some of which I actually used.
And with whom am I speaking?
My name is Pam. Excuse me.
Oh, okay, Pam. Hi. Nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you too. I'm so old that I.
Oh, Pam, honey, you are my friend.
actually, I've got you beaten by 2 years.
Oh, I love you even more. Keep going.
They didn't teach abacus when I was in school. In school, I tried to learn it from Hadley, but during the summer between my junior and senior years of school, and I had a wonderful teacher named Fred Gassoni who was at that point teaching for Hadley.
Oh, yes.
Didn't learn too much about the abacus. I could write numbers and I could add. But let's see. I know about the cube rhythm slate. And I know a couple of other things that probably predated it, that one of which I actually used. We did math in the School for the Blind in Texas on a thing called a number frame. And this was a wooden tray, very much like the tray that you used for the cube rhythm slate, but it was wooden, and it was like a typesetter's tray. And it used pieces of lead that had print numbers on the top end. And you put those little lead slugs in the moved them around to set up and work your problems, and then you had to clear your slate by putting all these things back in the proper on either side of the board. You just had more of these little holes. Imagine a piece of graph paper that you could, you know, was rows and rows and rows of little tiny squares. And so you had to set up your problem, work your problem, and then clear the slate by putting these things back in the proper, you had a row of ones, a row of twos, a row of threes running vertically. And so you'd have to store these things in the, you know, so it was quite a job to work a math problem. And you got really good at picking up these little slugs and putting them where they belonged and then clearing your slate again. And that was an extra skill. I didn't like math either.
Wow.
That you did.
And I don't know how anyone could have done all that.
Well, that's what we did. And then there was another slate that I never learned to use, but it was called a Taylor slate.
Oh, yes, I've seen the Taylor slate.
And the number, each number was made by turning this little slug in different directions. It was kind of like the cube rhythm slate, only I think it was a piece of lead, a little, oh, I can't... Very long and very skinny cube.
Yes.
Okay, and at the top of this, you could turn it in different directions. At the top, it depended on how you put that cube in the hole that determined what number you made.
Yes.
So that was, and I never did have to use one of those. Now, let's see, I have a question. Is the Banks Brailer a little, I think I called it the Pocket Brailer.
Yes, that's right. It's the Banks Pocket Writer.
Right, correct. I hated the thing because you ended up with this huge long string of tape.
That's right. You always had to sit by a wastebasket so we could collect. Yes.
Right. And I think the tape they used in it was an adding machine.
Yeah. Tape. You know, that could be.
Although the adding machines that I've seen, like the old-timey grocery, you'd see them sitting on the counter in the grocery store, and it was like a typewriter, and then you pull the handle, and it would advance a line.
Yep.
That's wider than what this stuff was.
Yeah,
wherever you find print filler paper for those kinds of machines is where you'd find the tape for this, for that that pocket brailer.
This pocket brailer tape is almost the width of Dymo tape, as I sort of recall.
Mm-hmm.
It's very unusual.
Yes.
Very unusual. Well, is there anything that you wish that they still made today?
The Sharp talking calculator.
Now, not the talking time, the talking calculator, right?
Well, this thing has an alarm, a timer, a calendar.
Does it maybe sound something like this?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
And they made two versions of that. One was very thin. That's not the one I'm talking about.
No, I have the fat one.
The fat one's the one I'm talking about.
I've got it right here.
Right. I have actually collected about three or four of them, knowing that someday they all retire. But let's see, there was one other thing I was going to... Oh, well, I know. Do you know what a Silver Chief Braille Writer is?
No.
Okay. We had it when I was in first grade. By the way, I got my first Perkins Braille Writer in 1955.
Well, you, like me, have one of the originals then.
I must, because I went over there, and just to make sure, the original handles were smooth.
Yes, yes.
And the later handles are just a little bit rough, like the rest of the case.
Yes.
As a way you can tell what vintage you have, I guess. But the Silver Chief Braille Writer looked like a Perkins that you'd taken the case off of. Except that the frame was metal, and it had a bunch of, actually it looked like the back part of it where you put the paper looked pretty similar to the way typewriters look. Or if you've ever seen an old Underwood typewriter.
Sure, yep.
It's got bars that's the carriage.
Yes.
They're very primitive looking and everything kind of sticks out exposed.
Yes.
Well, that's the way this Silver Chief Brailer was, and the metal they used to make it was shiny silver, and the keys felt like piano keys, and I tell you what, it had the shape of an upright piano.
Huh. No, I never saw that.
And it was very, the action was very, it wasn't springy at all, and it's almost like the action on a piano are only less, more like the action on a Braille speak or something. You hardly push the keys down at all, and the carriage advanced very slowly.
And so you wish they made that?
No, I was just, it's an antique and I don't own it, and it's just one of those, I'm asking you trivial questions now.
Oh, okay, all right.
and then.
A little role reversal here.
Right, well, and because I think maybe some of these people might not have heard of these things, and then there was the Hall Braille Writer.
Oh, yes,
and that,
yes.
That looked primitive as well, but it was a little more sophisticated, and it looked a little more like what might have been under the case of a Perkins.
Well, I tell you what, we may continue this show next week because we're coming almost up to time, but
okay.
I know there's lots of things people want to talk about, so why don't you come back next week and call me more more?
I certainly will now that I've learned how to do this.
Well, and you did it very well.
Thank you.
And it's nice to make a new friend.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Pam.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I want to give an opportunity to go one more time into the chat room and then tell you what's coming up. And, oh, my goodness, this hour flew. Anyone in the chat room want to add anything?
Hey, just a quick one on the Taylor frame. It had a bar at one end of the cube and two points at the other. So you could make 1 to 8 with the bar, turn it over, made 9, and then you had things for decimal points, plus, minus, etc. The other thing, just a quick one, who remembers the Braille shorthand machines? Did you ever have them in the States? Models D, E, F, and G.
I've never heard of a Braille shorthand machine, and I'm just going to grab this call real quick and say to the caller that we are just about out of time. If I do this next week, will you come back?
I'll call you next week.
Oh, wonderful. And who is this?
Bye.
Oh, well, okay, bye.
Hey, sorry, good show.
Oh, okay.
I broke my phone. I can't figure out how to push the button to get it on the handset.
All right, well, I'll do part two next week.
Cool.
All right. See you later, Sue.
Bye.
Bye. My goodness gracious. One technology we all need is a good new phone. Tom Bennin's wife's name was, may still be, Lee. How could you guys forget Lee? She used to read all those wonderful gifts and things like that. And let me just say to this caller, we are just about to go off the air. Will you listen next week? We'll do part two.
I should be able to.
All right.
Let me tell you real quick.
Oh, no. I can't. Send me an email. Okay?
Okay.
Great. Thanks. Bye. Oh, my goodness. Now I know how Larry King feels. This is Marlena, and I thank you all so much for listening. This was fabulous, and let's do it again next week. You've been listening to Marlena on ACB Radio. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. But in the meantime, if you've got an idea for a future show, why not drop me an email? The email address is Marlena, that's Marlaina, at acbradio.org. Thanks to Dave Williams, director of ACB Radio, and most of all, thanks to you, the listener. See you next week.